The discovery today is the result of many decades of work. NCSA has had major contributions in this discovery, and this started about 30 years ago when Larry Smarr was motivated to establish a world-class research center in the US to use supercomputing applications to address scientific projects. And one of the key projects that he wanted to target was the modeling of the collision of two black holes. And Ed Seidel, who joined his team back in the day, was leading a group that for the first time carried out a 3D numerical simulation of the merger of two black holes. So these seminal contributions were used to now have the infrastructure to model how these events happen, and then you go and use this information to extract information from the detectors and confirm that the prediction of Einstein is correct, that nature is indeed behaving in the way Einstein predicted it could. So definitely NCSA has contributed to finally find these events in nature and realize that there are many things that we're about to see, because it is as if we had been blind for many years and now we can see a new spectrum in the universe that is going to let us know about many new events happening there.
I'm Gabrielle Allen. I'm a professor of astronomy here and associate director at the NCSA. So unlike Elio, I'm not a member of the LIGO Consortium, but I've been working in gravitational waves and black holes for much of my career. So my research is around developing software that's used to do the models and simulations of compact objects like binary black holes and binary neutron stars that Elio just mentioned, that are important for being able to both determine the parameters of these systems, but also as the field moves further, to be able to really understand the physics that's coming out as we make new detections with LIGO and other gravitational wave instruments.
So what I gather is that you were trying to work out what, say, a collision between two black holes would look like, so to speak, so that if you detected evidence of it, you could correctly interpret that evidence.
That's right.
Hearing this announcement today, and I don't know how much advance word you had about it, but taking it from all the advance word I've heard, that this is a big deal.
This is amazing. This is like absolutely historic. I think it's the most important scientific discovery in my lifetime. I think it's a fundamental new window on the universe. It's going to be tremendous for the amount of new science and input we understand about the whole universe, and we're seeing information that we just could never see before with the telescopes and the other observing instruments we have today. I mean, I think it's absolutely staggering.
And if you wanted to put this in perspective, you can rightly say that this discovery is on par with the discovery of the Higgs boson and maybe the moon landing, because all the science that came from that changed the way we understand the cosmos, and that is exactly what is going to happen from now on.
You have at least the very first ability to detect gravitational waves, and you're able to conclude what's causing those gravitational waves to a certain degree. Can you give me some idea of where you think the research goes next in this area?
To begin with, we have a single event right now, and it has many surprises, and let me tell you just a few. To begin with, obviously, the detection of gravitational waves. Second one, and it was pointed out in the press conference, we are seeing a binary system of two black holes. We never saw that before. Even more, we now know that these black holes can form and merge within a Hubble time, or in layman language, within the age of the universe. And even more interesting is that before, with electromagnetic observations, we thought that some of the black holes that we would see with LIGO would be in the range between 5 and maybe 15 solar masses. Now we are seeing black holes that have about 30 times the mass of the sun. So this is completely unexpected. This is like already breaking a paradigm of understanding that we had before. What is going to come next is, as we gather more information and we have more detections, we are going to build up statistics to understand the distribution of masses of black holes, how fast they spin, where they form in the universe, and so we're going to have a census of these objects. And going backwards, this is going to give us information about stellar evolution, because black holes are the end point of the life of a massive star that undergoes a cataclysmic gravitational collapse. So we're going to get a thorough understanding of many aspects of physics, stellar evolution, where these objects form, and then what is the masses that they have. So it is going to be like a completely new understanding that we never had access before with electromagnetic observations.
Gabrielle, what do you look forward to finding out more about with this discovery?
I think another exciting thing is just that this discovery time comes at the time of great revolution as well around big data. We already have at NCSA, the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, which is going to be bringing unprecedented amounts of data that is will be used to look at objects in the electromagnetic spectrum. Now we can start thinking how we put together these different signals that come from fundamentally different processes in the star. So we can think about looking at the same time, for the first time, to look at information from gravitational waves, from the electromagnetic spectrum, from neutrinos, and have a really complete picture of these fantastically exotic objects in the universe. And so for me, it's also exciting about how this is going to be enabled by new technology here, how it's going to drive technology. And so I think we're really excited as a center how we can be part of that with the infrastructure that we've put in place and the expertise we have in the building. And then having the relativity group here with LU and others who are going to be able to do the science coming out of that.
What else besides the collision of black holes could we detect, at least with the technology that the LIGO project has brought up?
There is going to be people talking about the properties of these events. And one point that people will raise is that there is no electromagnetic counterpart to these events. Now, we're expecting that, given the properties of this binary system, we do not expect to see electromagnetic emission. But there will be other events that may generate an electromagnetic counterpart. And we're talking about lighter stellar mass black holes that involve neutron stars. Now, when these events do generate an electromagnetic counterpart, then there is already a program in place to let astronomers know about these candidates. They can steer their telescopes and try to find this signature. Now, NCSA is going to play an important role in this because there are two major electromagnetic projects taking place here: the Dark Energy Survey and the LSST. So when we have evidence of these electromagnetic signatures, now we will be in a position to pinpoint the location of these objects in the sky, know where they are happening, what galaxy is taking place, know information with unprecedented accuracy of the astrophysical environments in which they form and coalesce. This is something we have dreamed for many years, and it's going to take place now in the near future. So we will be talking about binary black holes, neutron star black holes, and binary neutron stars. And GAB has also surely a rainbow of other possibilities to discover in the near future.
We're interested with the software frameworks we have in modeling all of these objects, from the understanding more about binary black hole collisions, neutron star collisions, black hole neutron star collisions, gamma ray bursts, supernova. And it's just an amazing assortment of objects. And there's a lot of fundamental new science that can be done. I mean, now we actually have an apparatus where we'll be able to experiment. So in the past, we've done numerical simulations, and we try and interpret those results. But this now provides an instrument where we can compare our models with real observations going forward.
They talked about really just a handful of detectors that exist now or that will be coming online soon. Do you expect more of these detectors to be constructed?
Well, it is possible that more detectors will be built. However, already the National Science Foundation is funding other projects, for example, NanoGraph. And NanoGraph is just part of something called the International Pulsar Timing Array Collaboration. And what they do is they try also to search for gravitational waves using radio observations. I am part of this collaboration as well, but here is an important point that was made also in the press conference. LIGO is targeting a specific region of the gravitational wave spectrum. We're talking about high frequencies, larger than 10 hertz. With NanoGraph, we are going to be targeting different objects like supermassive black holes that have billions of times the mass of the sun. Other projects like the laser interferometer space antenna that is being led by Europe, they will target other objects like supermassive black holes with masses around 10 to the 6 solar masses. That will be emitted in the millihertz regime. So we expect to see more detectors, but now targeting other regions of the gravitational wave spectrum.
So different types of detectors.
That's right. And nanocoms, obviously, because we're talking about nanohertz. This is the typical frequency at which these supermassive black holes are emitting gravitational waves. But as I said, this is just one consortium of a big consortia that include the European Pulsar Timing Array and also the Parkes Pulsar Timing Array, which is in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Would a nanograph detector, in terms of the physical apparatus, require this sort of size?
To do the science, we are using two major radio antennas in the U.S. One is in Arecibo, and one other is the Green Bank Telescope. So these...
Those are, where are they?
One is in Puerto Rico, the Arecibo Telescope, uh-huh. And then you have also the Green Bank Telescope that is in the U.S.
Where, do you know where in the U.S.?
West Virginia.
In West Virginia.
That's right. And so the National Science Foundation has been very generous supporting these telescopes, and we rely very much on them to continue funding this, because the detection of gravitational waves in this particular region of the gravitational wave spectrum depends on the continuous operation of these telescopes.
This approach has not yet confirmed a gravitational wave, has it?
Not yet, but we are making great progress, and I think we are going to have great news also in the near future.